Please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 7, verse 24, where we'll be continuing our study through the book of Proverbs. As I mentioned the first week, we started that we've never done Proverbs on Sunday morning, which is why we decided to do this, and it's been a blessing. And it's a book that is the wisdom book of the Bible. We all need wisdom, don't we? Especially in these last days. And last week's study was emphasizing, the three chapters were emphasizing, that man cannot hold coals in their laps without getting burned. And yet, as we noticed last week, and is even going to be mentioned one time in our study today, even though people see people get burned by sin, they still want to play with sin. And so the emphasis of the Word of God is that for us to recognize that sin always burns, especially immorality, to walk away from it, to stay clear. And then it also emphasized last week avoiding debt, especially avoid being in debt through somebody else, through co-signing. To hate the things that God hates is going to be our study today, along with wisdom being better than rubies, and that the rewards of those who seek wisdom is everlasting life. So we concluded last week with these last verses in chapter 7, and then we'll flow into chapter 8. And these are verses talking about avoiding immorality, avoiding, in this case, the immoral woman. Now therefore listen to me, my children, pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. And all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. That's what we concluded with last week after three chapters really pretty much devoted to this subject of immorality. And then the news this week, which was emphasized in our, one person in our men's breakfast yesterday emphasized his understanding of Secret Service agents, how they're cream of the crop of the Marines. He was an Army guy, wanted to be Secret Service, but they say, we don't take Army guys. We only take the best of the best Marines. And the emphasis that all these Secret Service guys that have fallen into immorality, they go off into a foreign country, they probably think they're hiding it from their wives or hiding it from everybody else, but as we emphasized last week, there is no hiding. Even if they would have gotten away with it that time, there's no hiding it from God. And the destruction that was going to occur, even if they got away with it in their own relationships with their wives, they're living a lie for the rest of their lives, living a lie in front of their children. Hey, you kids, you need to not be running around and having to compromise and be hypocritical in their own minds. The damage is done, even if you don't get caught, just by the mental anguish, if there's any conscience left at all. And these were mighty men. And yet, they fell into sin. And so I emphasize that because we have to, even as God's people filled with the Spirit, we have to say to ourselves, you are so weak in your flesh. And we have to be on guard at all times because our flesh is weak, but the Spirit is strong. And if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So if we divert, even, you might think you're strong. Man, my walk is pretty strong. I think I'm okay. I think I can start, taking it easy spiritually. You take it easy spiritually. You get away from the fellowship of the saints. You get away from worshiping God, sitting down with the Word of God. The flesh, the power of the flesh is going to overtake you because your spirit, you're not walking in the Spirit. And so it goes on to talk about wisdom, and this chapter 8 that we're going to go into is the nature of wisdom itself. Wisdom in this chapter is being talked about in the feminine. It says she, and she is with God in the beginning, at the creation, at the flood, at all these things. This wisdom is crying out to all simple people to come and take life through wisdom, belief in God. Does not wisdom cry out? And understanding lift up her voice. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way, where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. So here wisdom, this woman, is standing at the gates of the city. You know, and in those days, you're surrounded by the gates, but everybody in that town is having to go in and out of that gate. So if you want to hit everybody in the town, you sit at the gate and you proclaim your message. And what the wisdom, the woman of wisdom, the female wisdom is saying, hey, you simple ones, you're going out, get wisdom from God. You simple ones coming in, get wisdom from God. I'm ready to give you life. You must, crying out to the fools and to the seekers alike, wisdom is what we need. And really, that's our message today as believers in Jesus. For you have already received the wisdom of God. And what are we supposed to do? God has left us here to really cry out in our area of our life. Cry out to people. Seek wisdom. They think we're crazy. They think that we should get some wisdom and stop believing in Jesus. But just like in the wisdom of the days that we're crying out into the nation of Israel and Israel abandoned their God, we still have to cry. Wisdom cries out for us to listen. And are we listening? I pray that even here today, if you find your mind just always wandering when you're in church, always wandering when you're reading the Bible and everything else, then repent and say, turn to God and say, God, I want my mind to be on you. I want to stop being so distracted by everything of the world, because wisdom is crying out. Listen, it says, verse 6. For I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness, nothing crooked or perverse in them. So when wisdom cries out, it'll never be a lie. God says, I hate lies, so it'll never be a lie. So if whatever we're listening to in the world today, is it the truth or is it a lie? If it's a lie, it's not the wisdom of God. And as I got another article that there was a whole bunch of evangelical people that were meeting over, I think it was in New York, to just say, hey, you know what? We've all evolved. Let's just, as Christians, let's just abandon this idea of creation. We've all evolved. So a whole bunch of professing Christians are getting together to embrace a lie. How do they know that, and they think they're wise. The Bible says that professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Because the Word of God says He breathed the breath of life into a piled up dirt pile, made Adam, breathed the breath of life, and that's how man came into being. That's the truth. Wisdom speaks the truth. Jesus says that's how they were created. Jesus said the world was flooded. So if we say that that's not true, we have to say Jesus is a liar. Well, then we can't say that Jesus had any wisdom, because wisdom never lies. And if He has no wisdom and He's lying to us, then we are in serious trouble, because He didn't die on the cross for our sins. And we're all lost. We're all floundering. And so it's amazing to me how many professing Christians will go off after the various different lies that are out in the world today. The wisdom never lies. He hates a lie. It'll never be wicked. It'll never be crooked. It'll never be perverse. So when we're hanging around with people, are they crooked? Are they perverse? As we talked about last week, the perverse mouth. Are we hanging around with people that are of perverse mouth and crooked? Then we're not hanging around with righteousness. We're not hanging around with wisdom. Verse 9, they, and it's the excellent things of verse 6, they are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. These excellent things are all plain to him who understands. And they're right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Nothing compares to wisdom of God. Nothing compares to letting the wisdom of God become our wisdom, which is why I've encouraged for years that, and if you don't do it every single month, but if you've never done it, if you've never just spent a month going through the Proverbs, one chapter a day, you get through the Proverbs every single month, and except for February. And then you can just double up on a couple chapters, depending on whether it's leap year or not. And let that be until you just start having a mindset of the wisdom of God, because it's more valuable than rubies. One of the news items yesterday is because the price of gold is so high in California, there's a new gold rush. Everybody's going back out into the creeks and rivers because it's worth it to just pan for a few flakes of gold now because it's so valuable. And they're spending their time doing that. And, you know, that's okay. It's okay to get an extra job and do some things. But I wonder if they really understood, or if they have ever understood, the pursuit of the wisdom of God first. What's more important? You know, I can get a few more flakes of gold, but then die and go to hell if I don't get the wisdom of God. Or I can have the wisdom of God and then go and pan for gold, and then have the wisdom of God to cry out to the others panning, hey, you know, this stuff, this shiny stuff is great, but it's nothing like the wisdom of God, which is found in Jesus Christ. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So what is it? What is the wisdom of God? The beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So it's basically implying that all evil is a result of pride and arrogance and is seen in a perverse mouth. Isn't that true? Just think of a sin. Think of an evil thing. And doesn't it all involve pride and arrogance? It certainly does, because it's pride and arrogance against God. Because if you knew that God's law reigns and He's the ruler of the universe and He's going to establish a new kingdom and a new earth, and this earth is going to be burned up as a scroll, then why would you want to do something evil? It's because you think that He's not going to get away with it, that you've got other plans and He's not going to mess with your life. It's to be prideful and arrogant. Looking down to Proverbs 9, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So we have a couple things working here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. And so then what does that mean? If I want to have wisdom, and the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is to hate things that God hates, is to just simply hate things God hates. How do I really get wisdom? Well, whenever God says He hates something, I don't want that to be part of my life. Is that hard to do? It is hard to do if we've been living in the world and the world has its enticements, but we can ask God in the power of His Holy Spirit, God, I pray that You would just make these things that are of the world give that temporary pleasure, but not that full satisfaction, that You would make that as evil to me as it is to You. He will answer that prayer. We were talking yesterday about quitting smoking. And at the men's retreat, and how we do that. And what I asked God when he convicted me that I should quit smoking, as I said, God, You're going to have to make these things obnoxious to me, because You know how much I like them. And You know how many times I've tried to quit on my own, even as a non-believer. Now that I'm a believer and these people are saying that You can change my life, and I've already sensed You change my life, You need to take it away. And then one day, I said, God, just make these so obnoxious to me. And as I'm smoking, I just sit there and I go, this thing is controlling me. I hate it. It's going to hinder me from telling people about Jesus. And then I got a big cherry on it and I stuck it out in my hand. And I thought, that'll remind me how much I hated it right now. And it did. That was the last one. And I just, you know, in those first couple, 3 days, it's so hard. I hated it that much. God made me hate it that much. And it got me over the hump. That's what God did for me. And so, if there's something that's got hold of you that God hates and it's just got hold of, ask Him to make it obnoxious to you. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to make it obnoxious to you. All of a sudden, whatever you're doing, it's going to seem like liver to you. How many like liver? Oh, man. I didn't know we had so many non-believers here. So, I was going to use that analogy and I'm like, man, I am not tempted by liver. And so whatever it is for you, just say, God, make this like liver. Or whatever. We don't have a problem not eating what we hate, do we? And God wants to just change our spiritual taste buds. He wants to change our life taste buds. And so God, just change it. I've changed on certain things that I've liked or didn't like about food, and for whatever reason, but God has major changed what I like and dislike about my walk in life, and it continues to change. You know, each year it changes more and more, and it's something, tragically, it's something you can go backwards on. All you have to do, get out of fellowship, stop reading the Word, hanging around with people that hate Jesus, and guaranteed, your appetite's going to go back to the things of the world, to the destruction of the world, and it will destroy you. And then when you're finding out, oh, my life's destroyed again, you know, God can pick you up, He can restore you, He can change your appetite again, but boy, a lot of time is lost in the in-between. A lot of misery happens. Counsel is mine in sound wisdom. I am understanding. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. Wow, I wish that were so. I wish that the wisdom of God reigned in our rulers in the world today. Unfortunately, they don't. But what happens, what will happen and always happen in Israel's history, as soon as their leaders went to the wisdom of the world, rejected the wisdom of God, what happened? Very shortly after that, they're conquered. Very shortly after that, another nation that was ruling their people by wisdom, even though it would be they're worshiping idols and everything, but they used the wisdom of how to rule a people, is that they would come and conquer the nation of Israel. We're going to have to pray that our leaders would use wisdom, as it says in Romans. Pray for our leaders. They rule over us. And if they use the lack of God's wisdom, then the people will be miserable, it says later on in Proverbs. I, wisdom from God, love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. This is a promise from God. I use it all the time to tell people that are lost. God says, if you seek Him, you will find Him. You know, this is wisdom, but what is wisdom? Wisdom is God. God is the epitome of wisdom. And so if we seek wisdom, we will find Him. You know, going back to Israel rejecting God during the days of Jeremiah, Jeremiah warned the people, turn back to the wisdom of God. Repent of your idolatry. Turn or you will be destroyed. The people rejected that message for many years. And then Jeremiah warns them in 29, a very famous section of Scripture, he warns them that you are going to be destroyed. You are going to be carried away into Babylon. You are going to be miserable because of your sin and rebellion against God. But then, Jeremiah 29:11, God says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God's saying, I will discipline you, Israel, but I am not thinking I'm going to destroy you. I have thoughts of peace towards you. I have thoughts of restoring you. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:11-13. So what happens in our life is when we go into a lack of wisdom, even as Christians, we're going to be disciplined. Why does God want to discipline us like He disciplined the nation of Israel? Because He wants us to find out how miserable this world is. And then when we find the misery of our life, we do what Israel does. We cry out to Him. You will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your entire heart. That's true for the non-believer coming from completely out of the family of God, and it's true for the Christian too. God would rather that we just stay close to Him, walk with Him, follow Him, let His desires be our desires. But if that doesn't happen, He still has thoughts of good towards us. He wants us to have peace and not evil in life, and so He brings us back to Him through our yearning for the days that we used to be close to Him. Again, I, wisdom, love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Very few people today are seeking the wisdom of God. It's amazing to me. And if our enemy, Satan, knows that the pursuit of the wisdom of God will get you to find God, what do you think he wants to do? He wants to rid our world of any of the wisdom of God. He will prevent it from being talked about in the schools. He'll prevent it from, you know, there's in Europe, that they've almost completely abolished the ability for you as parents to raise your own children in homeschooling, to teach them what you want to. There's, I think it's in Germany. It's totally illegal. You can't do it. So we know that that's going to be coming here too, because Satan wants everybody. He wants everything snuffed out. He wants the Word of God snuffed out. And so we should have a great appreciation here in these days leading up to the tribulation period when the rapture of the church is going to happen before that happens, we should be appreciative of the importance of the Word of God in our families, because it is the wisdom of God contained in the text. Riches and honor are with me, with wisdom. Enduring riches. How long are they enduring? Forever. Enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Now, many of the health wealth preachers will use this verse. You know, this is a promise from God. You know, God wants to give you wealth. He will give you wealth if you live in the wisdom of God. And as the emphasis in verse 18, it's enduring wealth. And that has to be in heaven. We are rich, as I've emphasized so many times. God's people are all rich because we have everlasting life in heaven. But apart from that, in this life, if you use the wisdom of God, which is what? To hate the things He hates. What does He hate? Drunkenness, immorality, stealing, etc., etc. When people go off into stealing and drugs and immorality and drunkenness and drugs, what happens? They lose everything. I have seen many people, I go and visit the jails where I could ask those guys, what are your total assets? Some of them older people, what's your total assets in life? How many of them are going to say, well, you know, I've got a big retirement and I've got all the, you know, I've got insurance for everything, got several cars to just help me get around. They're nothing. They're down to nothing because they pursued the ways of the world. Wisdom would keep you free from those things, and it will bring wealth to your family. One of the things I knew when I was quitting smoking when they were 28 cents a pack. Wow, man. Today I drive by the store, sale, $5. Oh, for a carton? No. For a pack. I don't know what it is. Isn't about there. Anyway. So just the wisdom of God to turn away from things that don't satisfy, that can mess with your bank account, that can mess with your flow of money, and people that allow drinking to devastate their families and bring division to the family. Foolishness costs big time, and God would spare us. The Lord possessed me, verse 22, at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was even an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. So wisdom is now saying, when God created this earth, I was there. The wisdom of God was there to create this planet in the perfect place that it is. People have studied where this privileged planet, there's a DVD titled Privileged Planet, from Discovery Institute, that has analyzed exactly where our planet is placed, is perfect for everything necessary for life. And wisdom was there. The same God who gives us the wisdom of life is the God who placed this planet where it is. And the last part where it says, I was there when there were no fountains abounding with water, the fountains of the great deep that burst up and created the flood. Verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth. And again, this is a section of Scripture dealing with the flood of Noah. And for those that are interested to know more about how the flood could have occurred, that perfectly fits with all these Bible verses. It's in creationscience.com, Dr. Walt Brown's online book of the flood of Noah. That continents rapidly formed the mountains at the flood of Noah time, and then the mountains actually literally, they were bunched up as a result of the hydroplates coming to a crashing halt, and the mountains were formed in hours, and then they sank down into the mantle. And the Bible basically says that in verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth, while as yet He had not made the earth or the fields or the principal dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep. Another verse in the Bible that implies the earth is round. You know, when God was looking down on the circle of the earth, the deep, the oceans, looking at, you know, when you look at planet Earth from space and you see the oceans and you see a circle of the earth. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when the fountains, the waters that were created underneath the crust of the earth increased in pressure due to the tidal pumping of the moon's relationship with the earth, pumping that lower ocean below the crust and increasing the heat and pressure and bursting the fountains that caused the flood to occur. Verse 29, when he assigned the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. And for those, again, who have studied the flood of Noah, we know that shortly after the flood, it says in Genesis that the lands were divided in the days of Peleg, which means, Peleg means divided. And we know from Scripture that the ocean, right after the flood, the oceans were much lower than they are today. And as the mountains and continents sunk into the mantle and the water was running off of the continents, the water was rising, the land all of a sudden separated because the land bridges were now underwater. And when God finally said, that's it, this is going to be where North American continent now resides. This is Africa, this is Europe. And, you know, America is no longer connected to the Asian continent through the Aleutian Islands. If you pulled away the water just a few hundred feet, Alaska is connected to Asia. And that's how people migrated from where the ark landed over to here, is because the oceans were so much lower. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing, and listen to this, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Imagine, you know, God delights. The wisdom of God delights in an inhabited planet of men, mankind. It doesn't say, and the animals and the plants and the birds and everything else, because why did he create those things? The Bible says he created it for our pleasure. Now, does God care about the animals? Yes, he does. He says so. And he tells us to care about the animals in his word. In the law of God, he tells us to care about the animals. But he also tells us to subdue them. And see, what Satan is doing is trying to convince the people of the world that we're just all mutated. We're all on like footing. And therefore, animals have the same meaning and purpose in life that we do. And that if we have to be culled, if we have to be depopulated for the sake of the planet and the other species, so be it as far as they're concerned, as long as they're not part of the ones being culled, I would imagine. They look at it that way. But the Bible says God looks at the planet and he's glad we're here. He knows that someday the evil is going to have to be removed from the planet. But what's going to be left are those that delight in him, that love him. And he delights in that, that we're going to be able to experience his love forever. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, who listens to the wisdom of God, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Ask yourself the question, are you seeking wisdom? It says here, blessed is the man or woman, by implication, blessed is the man or woman who listens to wisdom. Are you seeking the wisdom of God? When your heart and mind are yearning for what is the real meaning of life, you go to the Scriptures over what's happening in your life today. When you sense that something in the world is just not right, your attitude towards the world is not right, are you seeking the wisdom of God? It says that if you do, then you're going to be a blessed man or woman. So we should, and to receive the wisdom of God is again to just hate the things that he hates, to repent of the things we're doing in rebellion. For whoever finds me finds the wisdom of God, hates the things God hates. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 as a parallel. So this scripture says, if you find wisdom, you have life. If you reject wisdom, you find death. Finding the wisdom of God is to believe in Jesus, His only Savior, the only one He ever sent to save us from death. The people who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior are rejecting the wisdom of God, and it will lead to their death. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God." So this is New Testament saying exactly what we were saying earlier, that more and more we would wake up to living for Jesus and turning away from the things of the world. "For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Sanctification means that we're set apart. We were in the world. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were rejecting the wisdom of God. Then we turned to Jesus, and He wants to sanctify us because He rejoices and is blessed by the inhabitants of His people who love Him. "Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor," that we would all learn how to set apart our life to serve Jesus, to no longer be serving the things of the world, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Again, going back with our Proverbs chapters of last week, he's telling the church at Thessalonica, you know, the power of this world to go after the things of lust. And if you go after the things of lust, you're going to defraud your brother or your sister. You're going to be doing things that are defrauding your brothers and sisters. And it should not be such, because God hates it. "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." Going back to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. So Paul was saying the same thing. You know, the wisdom of God is to hate the things God hates. "You church," he was saying, "you church at Thessalonica, it's time to be sanctified, be set apart for God. Hate the things that God hates." If you reject that knowledge from God, you're not rejecting man. You're not rejecting my letter, Paul's saying. You are rejecting God himself. And you hate your own life, as it says in Proverbs. "For whoever finds me, finds wisdom of God, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me rejects the wisdom of God, rejects hating the things God hates, wrongs his own soul." It's amazing. The Bible makes it seem like you're responsible whether you go to heaven or hell yourself. Instead of, again, Calvinism. You know, it's not... Calvinism would say, "But he who sins against me did so because I made him do that." But it doesn't say that. It says, "But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul." We have the ability to walk with God, to serve Him or not to. "All those who hate me love death." One of the things that so amazed me after 9/11, you know, the fundamentalist Muslims around the world were saying, you know, the reason we're going to defeat you, you know, hey, we just won a battle against you. The reason we're going to defeat you is because we love death as much as you love life. Go, wow. According to the scriptures, they just proved themselves to be haters of God. They proved themselves to be fools. Because it says, whoever rejects the God of this Bible is a fool who hates their own life. And we can share that with people when we're talking to them about Jesus. And I don't want to believe in your Jesus. Oh, okay. So you hate yourself. What? The Bible says, if you reject the wisdom of God, you hate your own life. Chapter 9, verse 1, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has set out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, 'Come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine I have mixed.'" You know, it's just very parallel to the New Testament, the bridal supper of the Lamb. God has called us to be with Him. And He's got a meal plan. Imagine if you got an invitation to a full course meal from the richest man on the planet on their yacht. You love being on a yacht. Do you think it'd be important to, wow, I want to RSVP on this deal. I want to be part of that. Well, that's what wisdom is saying. Saying, I've got a banquet. It's a full course meal. Everything is set. It's ready to go. I am calling all you simple ones. All you that know you've got a problem. All of you who will admit you lack understanding. Come and eat of me. Come and eat of wisdom. That's what Jesus has done. It's interesting to me. It says, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine. What was Jesus saying on the night he was betrayed? This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Wisdom is calling us to a banquet where Jesus became that bread of life. And he shed his blood that we might be forgiven of sin if we would humble ourselves before him. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. And we are to forsake and encourage the people in the world, forsake your foolishness of rejecting the God of the Bible. That's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. We covered this in our first, in our Resurrection Sunday service a little bit, that when Peter tells the group, you have murdered Jesus. He was the prophesied one. You have betrayed him into the hands of sinners and have murdered him. And then what did they do? They said, now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What did Peter say? Forsake your foolishness and live. He said exactly what the proverb says. And go in the way of understanding. He said, repent, which is to forsake our foolishness, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Go in the way of understanding. Go in the way of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you reject that wisdom, you do so to the destruction of your soul. That's our message to this world. He who corrects, verse 7, shifting subjects a little bit, just kind of getting into the Proverbs that become, one-liners in chapter 10. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. And really, it's emphasizing, and actually going to verse 8 goes along with it, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. And really, it's saying that there's some people that just hate our Jesus, and to try and spend our time, waste our time with people that scoff and mock at God is only going to hurt you, because they're going to pound you into the ground. Tell you, if you keep telling me about Jesus, then I'm going to, do you bodily harm. That's what the proverb is saying. And what he's saying is, give it up. Go find a wise man to rebuke. And this verse has played a part in the times I'm out sharing with people. God help me discern the scoffers. To not waste my time, because if a scoffer comes, I can throw all my time into that and absolutely have it bear zero fruit. And right walking next to me might be somebody who is really searching for the answer to life and is looking for wisdom. And what the Bible says is, rebuke a wise man and he will love you for it. And ultimately, I went from being a scoffer that was useless, except the seeds were planted, and then all of a sudden I was rebuked by the truth of the Word of God in a way that my heart melted, and I turned to the wisdom of God. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. He says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and tear you in pieces. And, Jesus knew who the swine were. We don't sometimes. So I still try and witness to people, but I try and realize, is there a heart of humility here that's even open at all to the gospel, or are they just scoffers wanting to waste the time? Give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser still. He'll be still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So if we waste our time with scoffers, we'll miss the wise man and trusting the things of God to faithful men. That's what Paul said to Timothy in his last letter. He says, entrust these things to faithful men, because they would carry the gospel on. So ask yourself again the question, are you one of those who wants to be wiser still? God, thank you for the wisdom you've given me in your word. I want to be wiser still. Because if you do, then he's going to say, yeah, if you want to be wiser still, then keep pouring into my word. Keep doing what I've told you to do. Keep fellowshipping with the saints and letting your life be instructed by him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, as we already covered. For by me, wisdom, the wisdom of God, Jesus, your days will be multiplied and the years of your life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. Walking in obedience to God will lengthen your days. Just like, you know, walking with God is going to keep you from wasting the funds that God gives you in life, walking with God is going to lengthen your days. You're not going to be trashing your life with foolishness. A foolish woman is clamorous. Verse 13, she is simple and knows nothing. The word clamorous there is also found in Proverbs 7:10. It says, and behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. So the foolish, clamorous, loud woman of immorality, and that's how they operated in the day, she is simple, knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on the seat by the highest places of the city. And I don't know exactly what is meant by the highest places of the city, except for around the cities, the high places were used for what? In antiquity, the Jews would often, in the rebellion against God, the high places were where people would go to worship idols. They would go and seek out the things of the world. Today, it would be like, where do people, if they want to get into wickedness, if they wanted to get into immorality, where do they go? You know, it's not the high places. They're going into the dark places in town. They're going to the bars. I'm going to go to the bar. I can find somebody at the bar that I can be immoral with, and et cetera, et cetera. So that's what it's saying. She sits in the door. She sits on the stools of the bar in our culture today, on a seat by others that are in the bar, to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, the foolish, the scoffer, who loves death, hates life, according to our study today, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Again, just like our concluding verses of last week, showing the enticement of sin. She says to the guy at the bar, you know, what's wrong? Well, you know, I just had a fight with my wife, and it's been a long time since I've been here in the bar, and just wanted to just kind of soak my sorrows. Well, come on over here to my table. Let's talk about it. You're just having a hard time. Why don't you just, I'm telling you something that actually happened to a pastor. Trashed his ministry. Seriously. About a year ago, big church, had a fight with his wife, decided to go to the bar, picked up on a girl, destroyed his life. Just like that. It only took a little bit of time. The enticer was there, said the smooth words. Stolen stuff is sweet. It is sweet until it gets right here in your gut and then it rots. Isn't that something, how sin is so debilitating? It is so enticing. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. You have it. And you feel like you've died 1,000 deaths. And the only way we can avoid it is to see what wisdom is saying here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. God allows the evil in this world, I'm convinced, to test us. He's testing us. Yeah, he could get rid of all the bars, all the porn plagues, all the porn houses, all the immorality, get rid of Hollywood. Wouldn't even need to nuke it. He could just declare it gone and just, it'd be gone. He could do all that. He's going to do all that. But he's going to do all that after he's allowed it to sift us. Do we want life or do we want death? Do we want Jesus or do we want the world? If we want Jesus, then he'll change our heart and we'll be less of the world and more of him. But it's a constant sanctifying process. And we can go back, just like that pastor, he knows the Lord. But he's gonna pay the rest of his life for a moment of foolishness because he rejected the wisdom of God. And we can waste a lot of our time by rejecting the wisdom of God. It's a dangerous world out there. And during this sifting process, we need to be ever vigilant. Let's turn as a summary to Psalm 1. We'll read Psalm chapter 1. It really goes along with these two chapters. And again, as we did in our men's breakfast yesterday, where it was stir up the gift that was within us, and it says, because God has not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we are emphasizing sound mind means a disciplined life. And to stir up our disciplined life. And then we challenged each other at the end with, is there something in your life that's not disciplined? Is there something that you know God hates, but yet you still don't hate it as much as God? Then I pray that the application of today would be to just write that thing down. God, this thing I still like more than I know you do, because I know you hate it. And I want to die to this. I want it to be obnoxious to me. And then just trust that God will do so. But he will do so through his word. He'll do so through that quiet time you have with him, with the Holy Spirit changing and convicting your heart. If you stay away from the word, you stay away from that quiet time with Jesus, then the power won't be there to do it. Because you'll be fellowshipping with the world instead of walking with Jesus, as it says in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, just like Proverbs says, don't waste your time with the scornful. Why sit around people who hate our Jesus? But his delight, the wise person's delight, the blessed man, woman's delight, is in the law of God, sitting down and reading the word of God. And in his law, he meditates day and night, knowing that the law of God, meditating on it, will make it something that you love more than you love the world, and will make you die to the things of the world. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, will be wealthy, will be provided for, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Because it says that God loves to inhabit his people. He loves to be with us because we get to be with him. And he will not allow the scoffer to be in his presence. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, Proverbs is an amazing book. It's wisdom. As we all said at the beginning of the study, how many of us need wisdom? We all need wisdom, don't we? It's found in the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the world advertises itself as wisdom, but it only brings death, destruction, and misery. The wisdom of God brings life. And I pray for you, congregants, in a time where all the Barna polls and every poll known to the world today is saying that in the evangelical church, there's hardly anybody that's read the whole Word of God. Hardly anybody. And that even the ones that do, there was a recent poll I read a couple weeks ago, it came in email. How many times does the average evangelical pick up their Bible to actually read it? It's tragic. It's tragic how much this world is sapping our time. Satan's no fool. He will sap our time with media, with games, with other things that are happening in the world, and we'll go another week, where I never sat down and curled up with Jesus and his word. That I didn't just look at it and say, God, speak to me today, convict my heart, and let me draw closer to you. If we don't do it, and I've heard many Christians say, I just feel like I haven't got the power, I haven't got the joy I used to have and everything else. And then you ask the question, well, how much have you been into God's Word? How much have you been into the world? Because as God's people, if we don't stay plugged into here, we're going to get discouraged and we're not going to know why. And the reason why is because we're not plugged into the power of the universe on a daily basis to let Him just live through us. So, let's stand and pray. Father, I pray for all of us, God. We need more of You and certainly a lot less of the world. And I pray for Your saints here, that God, You had just given them the power, Lord, in all the busyness of life, to just have Your Word just there, something to pick up, that God, Your Spirit would speak to each one of us as we desire to know You and to seek Your Word. Lord, I pray for protection for those that are struggling with things in their lives that are at enmity with You, that God, You would help them, help me, to just see the world the way You do, to see things the way You do, and to hate the things You hate, love the things You love, that we could live in wisdom in these last days, Lord. We thank You for Your power, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our God is faithful and able to keep us holy, to walk us boldly into the land. He is a mighty warrior who rules in mercy. His name is worthy of all of our praise. Our God is faithful and able to keep us holy, to walk us boldly into the land. He is a mighty warrior who rules in mercy. His name is worthy of all of our praise. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it is kingdom of love we decree. Let all of creation rise up and adore Him and sing with a shout. We're redeemed. Our God is faithful and able to keep us holy, to walk us boldly into the land. He is a mighty warrior who rules in mercy. His name is worthy of all of our praise. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it is His kingdom of love we decree. Let all of creation rise up and adore Him and sing with a shout. We're redeemed. Our God is faithful and able to keep us holy, to walk us boldly into the land. He is a mighty warrior who rules in mercy. His name is worthy of all of our praise.
We do serve an awesome God. He is able to keep us, to help us walk boldly, to help us walk in holiness. And if you haven't been experiencing that in your life, then come on up and pray. Let's just pray for you. And pray that God's power will rule over your life. And just give it to Him. He wants to save you. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to set you free from the things of the world, that we can walk with Him by faith and not by sight. God bless you. Keep you in His care. I'll be up here to pray with anybody that wants to be prayed with. In Jesus' name, amen.